showtime!
Oh, wow, it went off without a hick. Welcome, everyone, to the live Wrestling Ramble, which this week is brought to you with myself, Kevin, and Todd, as always.
It's this hello. Side, right? Hello, we're actually saying hello. We are live. This is
exactly.
Cool.
Aye, mad, right? Last time we went live was not so fun because everything went up in the air and everything was sticky and slow, but I don't think that's happening this night because we've upgraded our systems. So yeah, this week we're going to talk about everything that happens in wrestling, but we're also going to talk about what happened last night at the Elimination Chamber. Todd, are you shocked?
No, but when I seen the results this morning, I was still a bit like, oh right, they're doing that. So
exactly.
Yeah.
There's Cole McNeely in the chat. Hi Cole.
Hey, Cole,
I think Cole's becoming a bit of a wrestling fan also, which was benefits him more because he's over there in the States.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Cole was with us in the Royal Rumble night, wasn't he?
Exactly, and here he is to join our live Wrestling Ramble chat. Yes. So, yeah, Elimination Chamber happened last night, and we're going to kind of recap that in a bit, but let's chat a bit about AEW first. Todd, your thoughts on this week's AEW Dynamite?
I said to you before we went live, I thought it was a bit of a sleeper week for AEW. I think this week's going to be the week where all the stuff kicks off because, of course, it's Revolution. It was last night. So I think everyone's going to kind of kick off this week. So AEW was a bit of, I don't know how you felt about it, but I didn't feel like a lot was going on. It was just kind of filling the gaps until next week where we're all going to be going home. For Revolution and hopefully a good pay-per-view. So,
what's the biggest match that you're looking forward to in Revolution?
Well, if you asked me before this week's Dynamite, I would have said, oh, well, I'm looking forward to seeing Sting getting back in the ring. I think that's quite an event. But when they announced the main event of Revolution on this week's Dynamite and it's going to be an exploding barbed wire death match, I'm sorry, that shit caught my attention, man. Especially after the last match that Moxley and Omega had.
Exploding.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck does that mean?
I mean, how do you take barbed wire and make it explode? Let's just kind of go with it, right? Fireworks?
Pyro. I don't know. Maybe it's just going to be like an Inferno match type thing. Maybe they're going to have a barbed wire mat, like barbed wire and ropes with Inferno. I don't have a clue, to be honest with you. But those two are nut jobs. If you've watched it, if you watched their match when they had the, I don't know if you watched it, because it was before we started this podcast, but the match, I can't remember which pay-per-view it was last year, but was it Full Gear? I think it may have been Full Gear. I think it was Full Gear. They had an unsanctioned match, and that was pretty, in my opinion, shit hot. So I'm looking forward to them going at it again. So that was announced this week. That was like the last thing of the show. With Omega, who's finally decided that yes, he is a heel, and that he's going to act like a heel. So
yeah. The powerbomb from Sting received from what's his name again? Brian Cage.
Brian Cage.
Now you see, did you see the state of Sting's face when the camera? I think it's like
was fucking contorted.
The bird's eye view camera comes down on his face. He's like, and I'm going to do a wee impression of his face. Oh. it was
kind of like sums up exactly how, if you've ever been to wrestling training before, the first time you get powerbombed or slammed or something like that, it's like that is accurate.
he was like, yeah, everybody's totally looking forward to Sting getting back in the ring. This is going to be great. He takes a power bomb from like an absolute powerhouse and he's just lying there dazed and confused. He's like, did I sign up for this shit?
He's still just a really great seller. Who knows?
But he's something. Well, tell me about it. So yeah, I think his work in the ring with Darby Allin will be Darby doing most of the work and Sting kind of running about with a baseball bat. Because I think that's kind of what's been happening so far is Darby Allin like a wee puppy dog goes, ah, 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 ah. The big dogs come and they're like, you what? And then Sting appears with his face paint and his baseball bat and everybody's like, whoa, whoa. And that's kind of been the layout of that kind of that story so far. So maybe that'll be what we see in the ring or outside the ring.
Ah, well, maybe. That's if Darby's recovered from... We didn't speak about it last week, but obviously Darby was out returning the trolleys in the Asda car park last week, and he got jumped by Taz and his pony shoved into a bag and drove away, which just happens. And I'm sure Tesco was wondering why there was no... Or Asda, should I say. Was wondering why their trolley bays were all empty at the shop.
Yeah. So, yeah, Darby Allin... I wonder how they got him in that. They probably gave him a bit of kicking. But what I don't understand, right, is Darby Allin's the underdog.
I wonder how they got him in that. Probably gave
right,
him a bit
exactly.
of a kicking.
Well, think about it, right?
Probably gave him a bit of a kicking.
We've seen these absolute powerhouses try to batter Darby Allin and fail miserably. So I'm curious, how did they get him in that body bag?
Right. Well, Kevin, I've got a big thing to break to you again. Wrestling's kid on.
Mate, do you know what I think they've done? They poisoned his ready brick and he fell asleep.
Or they're just going to do what we did when we were like 14 and made that video at my house. We'll just shove pillows in a sleeping bag and chuck it down the stairs and make everybody believe you're in there. Just a stuffy area there.
Because that was so convincing. And by the way, I'll be really, really annoyed if come next week Darby Allin has his match and he doesn't have a big like carpet bump up his back. Like, I'm like, wait a minute, is this fake? I saw him last week get put inside a body bag and dragged.
To be fair, you've gave me a hilarious idea for a match to set. Before the match, you know how you usually see them warming up and shit like that? You could just have Sting like applying Savlon to Darby Allin's back before the match.
Yeah, I think
Sting and Darby Allin being prepared. Sting's fucking rubbing on the fucking DW, not DW40, that wouldn't work. WD40.
Thing is, he puts on his face paint and stuff, and it's started to now go down his body. Maybe that's what he'll do. He'll wrestle in a t-shirt. I don't think wrestlers should wrestle in t-shirts. You know, Lance Archer, you know, the guy that's meant to be like a big evil monster that comes out singing like the Backstreet Boys to his own theme song, looks right down the hard cam and he's like, oh, this, right? Totally takes you out of the moment, right? But he wrestles in a t-shirt.
I don't like wrestlers who wrestle in t-shirts because part of me feels that you're wrestling a t-shirt because you don't want everybody to see how fat you are. It's true. It's Kevin. It is true. Kevin Owens does it, right? I think he freely admits it, right? But you used to see it on the actual shows, like the independent wrestling shows. You used to see that all the time. See the cunt that was wearing that, like the wearing t-shirts and that. You were like, ah, you're fat as fuck under there. That's why you're doing that.
Serian.
Not that I'm exactly a bloody specimen myself, but you know.
Don't lie, Todd. You're an absolute Adonis.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
There's a reason they called him 10-inch Todd back in the day.
No shrunk.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm still not a big fan of what Lance Archer's doing right now, and I do think that there is potential with him. It's just...
They did have potential. I liked when he first came in, the whole thing when Jake Roberts was speaking to a camera, and he'd just be in the back fucking people up randomly because he was just a fucking monster, and you know that's what he does. That was his shit. It would just be funny because he'd like cut to Jake Roberts and Jake Roberts would be sitting at a campfire talking away, and then Lance Archer would be fucking kicking the fuck out of somebody in the back lane. I like that gimmick, but they seem to drop it. They're trying to make him a face, and it's a bit Drew McIntyre. I mean, I think one of the cringiest things with Drew McIntyre is when he looks down the hard camera and starts giving it you cool cats and kittens, and I'm like, just stop that, Drew. Avoid all that shit.
I think that was because he done it at WrestleMania, and since then he's kind of went with it because Stone Cold Steve Austin was like, I like what you're doing there, kid. You know. The thing is, with Lance Archer, right, he's dressed like Tong Po from Kickboxer. Right, shout out to Michael Kesey. Right,
he's a nice guy, wasn't he?
Right, he was really nice. So he's almost that kind of polarizing figure that the guy that kicks the wall with his fucking legs. Right, so you could imagine him like completely slicing down someone like he's a block of cheese in a match, right? But see when he comes out and he's singing his own theme song and looking down the camera and getting it, you know, I want it that way. That stuff just, nah.
Nah.
For me, it's like, you know.
He's toast.
Aye. Like, if that was WWE he was in, Vince McMahon would have him dancing with two divas in his entrance by now, putting sunglasses on, right? Tell me I'm wrong.
He'd be perfect for the Paul Burchill pirate gimmick. He's got that look.
Yeah, but
you're totally right. He's in AEW terms, he's that way. But there's so many. We've spoken about it many times before. They have not been able to book a monster properly, a monster heel properly yet, and that's mainly because AEW seems to buy into the whole. You hear JR and that criticize it quite rightly, but it seems that it's a modern day thing that wrestlers, if you want them to be a champion, they can't get beat. It's almost like they need to have an unblemished record. It's like you can get beat and still look strong, guys.
Aye, absolutely. Look at the way that Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns done it at, what was the last event they done it at? Where they wrestled? Was it Royal Rumble?
It was Survivor Series, I think that was. I mean, to be fair, we're going to talk about Elimination Chamber, but I think WWE kind of showed Elimination Chamber how to lose strongly. I think they showed that in a number of cases. We'll talk about it, but AEW doesn't seem to be a big believer in that. They seem to be under the impression that if you get beat, that's your credibility gone, and it's totally fucking untrue, really.
Yeah, I think as long as you don't get beat, like Brian Cage getting beat off a trolley collector kind of thing.
There's exceptions. Like, I mean, if you look at the, like, I always go back to the Goldberg and the Fiend thing. Momentum is a massive thing. So when somebody's on a roll of momentum and then they get beat out of nowhere, it can affect their credibility. That's true, but not. Stone Cold Steve Austin used to get beat. The Rock used to get beat, and they've been beat on Raws and SmackDowns, but it was always to progress the story.
Yeah, and it's usually
for it.
If it was the Attitude, it was usually due to like sex interference as well. That scolding dog, that scold, he screwed Austin. You know, and that again, the commentators, right, had a role in making sure that you were covered when you were cheated, right? Made sure that the audience at home knew. Wait a minute. He didn't have it this match because.
Yes.
Right. So I think the commentators play a big in it as well.
Yes.
Speaking of commentators, what do you think of that fella? The guy with the mask?
Excalibur.
Yeah.
I think he's all right. I don't think he gets as bad as everybody. People really shit on him. But I think he does quite a good job. I mean, he doesn't offend me. He's with two. To be fair, he's with two massive, like. commentators from the 90s era. Basically, you've got JR, who is like everybody's favorite commentator from the day at the peak of wrestling. And then you've got Tony, I can't ever pronounce his proper second name right, Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone. Yeah.
Yeah, Big Tony, who was WCW's main man in the 90s as well.
He was the JR of WCW.
Yeah, I mean, he's the younger guy. I don't know why he wears a mask for. I don't know if he was a wrestler before. I don't know much about him, but I find him inoffensive. I really ain't that bothered. I think AEW's commentary team is by far and away not the worst thing.
Well, did you catch AEW recently? And and now over to the WWE champion, Kenny Omega. And it's become a bit of a meme online now.
Fact, he owns up for it, though. He's just like, my bad.
And I don't remember JR making so many boo-boos on...
The man's old. Come on. Age, it all happens to us all. We'll be doing the same. We're sitting here in our 70s.
That happens.
We'll be
sitting there going...
Well, there you go. We probably done it ourselves in here, but we're sitting here when we're 70. We'll be going... Jim Ross made a mistake, didn't he, Kevin? It was like, can't even think. I don't know where I'm going with this, to be honest.
Yeah, his legacy is untouched.
This is the reason why we're by a stranger going live, making shit this up.
So his legacy is untouched, regardless.
Right? Yes.
Everybody makes mistakes, so, I mean, it's hardly in the world. If anything, we got a meme out of it, a really funny internet meme. And it's, did you see the picture of Triple H standing, shaking Kenny Omega's hand with the title? Did you not see it? It's that classic Triple H picture where he takes
the one with, like, after somebody always wins a belt. Yeah.
Kenny Omega and Triple H. So that's class that we kind of got that meme out of it. Aside from that, there's really not a lot going on. There was a good women's match between
you're talking about Riho and Serena Deeb.
Yes, that was a decent match.
Yeah, you know who I take it, you know who Serena Deeb was. Yeah,
she was.
She was. Remember, CM Punk had a Straight Edge Society.
That's Serena. Yeah,
that's Serena. Yep, that's her. She was a woman that had her head shaved. That's Serena Deeb. So
she, the reason she, here's a wee bit of trivia there for you, but the reason she got sacked from WWE was because she was in CM Punk's Straight Edge Society, but she put on, like, Twitter, she was out drinking with the lads. So they were like, yeah, you've killed the gimmick. You're sacked. But here's the thing, though. In WWE, right, people have killed gimmicks before and don't get sacked. So should not be one rule for, you know, but it never is. And see, I was trying to explain to J-Mac the other day. He asked this very question. You know, Kev, because he's forever asking, you know, which of the documentaries should I watch now? He's very interested.
Or WWE. Stuff.
Yeah, right. And I always say to him, you know, nothing on the WWE network, because it's filtered through WWE. You're only going to get the one side of the story. If you want the real stories, get them outside WWE network. And he's like, but you're a WWE fan. Why would you encourage me to not, you know? And I'm like, well, as true as it is, WWE is not the greatest company to work for.
No.
Right? And they've never been fair. People get sacked like that for nothing.
Yeah, WWE is, when they do the documentaries, albeit a lot of them are quite good, I tend to think the older ones that you used to release in DVD, which can still, some of them are on the network, some of them aren't, were better, but they're all WWE history as told by Vince. Yeah, especially the ECW and the WCW ones.
Steven Richards.
Yes.
I can already hear the theme song to the...
There is a WWE-made Chris Benoit documentary out there that exists. Is there? Yeah, because they made a DVD for him called Hard Knocks, and it's actually not that... You'd think that something like that would be a rare collector's item, but it's actually not. You can get it for quite cheap. And there's a Chris Benoit documentary, of course, was Greatest Matches, and that was released before.
But aside from the whole Serena Deeb match, which was really good.
Yeah, Riho came back. She's the first AEW's Women Champion, so it was supposedly a big deal. They managed to get her across on a boat to Florida.
I find that AEW is a little dry this week.
It is. You expect fireworks next week. You also, Jericho threw a little bit of shade at Sammy Guevara in his promo. He was like, it's the first, him leaving Inner Circle is the first of many mistakes this week. And I was like, oh, if Kevin didn't tell me that, I wouldn't have got that.
But yeah.
It's quite clear that it's Sammy versus Jericho at some point, which is awesome. Looking forward to
that. Lucky, I don't know, depending on what his standing is right now with the company.
He'll be fine. If he got away with the whole Sasha Banks thing, so he'll survive this.
Exactly. I mean, come on.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. Because exactly. I'm not saying it here.
No, not at all. But yeah, I think it's a bit of a shame with that whole thing going down with Sammy Guevara. Good talent. I'd like to still see him on AEW. Who knows where he'll show up?
Yes, it's a bit, as I say, it's a bit of a sleeper week. Cassidy beat Luther. Bucks for Vase Santana. Who gives a shit? Cody and Brandy did their gender reveal.
Wow. I mean, since when did that wrestling company, like, do you remember in WWE? An impact. Anybody that got, like, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch just had a child. There's no big, you know, ad taken out in the middle of the show to promote it.
I know what I hope happens, right? And this is terrible, because I actually have a free. You've got children, I've got children, and I've got a little one in the way as well. So me saying this, I say this to somebody that's actually got kids, and I say it in jest, and it's a joke. So before you all get offended and say that's right, I have kids, right? So. Imagine Cody and Brandy return with their newborn baby.
Snitsky shows up.
Exactly.
It was my fault. And he takes the baby, the kayfabe baby, right? The doll. And boos it in the stadium. That would be awesome. That would be too good.
See, if Cody Rhodes ever comes across this, he's probably sitting there going, that's actually really fucking good.
No, I'm taking notes. Hey, you know, it would be, I think Cody's child will probably have its own merchandise and probably a title run by the time it's won.
What's her face?
It's getting its own pyro.
What's her face? Britt Baker posted on Twitter saying that Cody Rhodes' kid will probably have an action figure before her.
It was said on the actual show. how true to life is it? There was something else that happened on the show as well that I thought was quite funny. It was a little bit of shade from one person to another. I can't actually remember who it was. I do think that team are really good. What was the name again? Those guys that come down rapping with the boombox.
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember. Honestly, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I've not even wrote down anything about Hangman's situation with the Dark Order.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Matt Hardy, obviously.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah. So he and Adam Page have a match. Adam Page is money, mate. See, just watching his matches, everything about him, just he's like Mr. Perfect meets Shawn Michaels. I don't know, but some sort of.
He's kind of like, it's weird because he seems like quite a big guy, but he moves like a wee guy. It's quite strange, but yeah. I was like, Matt Hardy, I'm not really invested in that. Of course, gets a beat down and the Dark Order come in to make save, which is fine. But I seen Brody Lee's kid out there again and I was like...
I was like,
it's nice, but how often are we going to keep doing this? I was like, a negative one. I was like, right, okay. But
You can see what's going to happen, right? A sacrifice! You can see what's going to happen. It's going to be negative one versus Cody's child, right?
And
no doubt Cody's child will be named Dusty.
He's not really giving it much of a chance if he calls it Dusty, is he?
Can you see negative one versus Dusty?
No, I don't want to see anything like that.
At this point, with AEW...
No, nothing's off limits. The kid's been out too often for me. I mean, yeah. I don't want to sound insensitive. We've spoken about it before. You can do whatever. It's a live event. You can do whatever you want before or after the live event. I don't care. There's no harm in doing that. But in your national television product, you're making yourselves look a bit...
Mm-hmm.
Aye. I'll just leave it at that.
Aye, for sure. It is what it is, right? So, I mean...
It's not harm in my life. I don't want to sit there. The kid's dad's died at the end of the day. You know, they're trying to make him feel as good as possible in a horrible situation. I get that, but...
Yeah, but when Taz is trying to commentate and the boys... Nah. They need to do what we're about to do with AEW, and that's move on to Monday Night Raw. So, yeah, Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw, fella.
Right. Mate, how much is Sheamus like an old New York kind of... With his hat and all that, yeah. He's one of the guys you find under the bridge trying to catch a heat in one of those barrels, right?
You can make up a rumor like Seamus is Home Alone 2. See if you're looking at that scene where he's like Kevin's out in the street and all that. See Seamus is kicking a bit in the background. Watch it next time, you'll see him.
Have you noticed as well? The more heel Seamus gets, the more Irish he gets. Yeah. It's like when he's a good guy, he's kind of like this, right? But the minute he gets like a real bad boy, he like.
Yeah. That's really good.
It's true though, right? It gets really good Irish when it gets more Irish, the more heel he gets. So you'll always know with Sheamus where he sits on the face versus heel kind of thing. Because you just, how Irish is he? Ah, he's a bad guy.
Oh, it's a really strange position he's in at the minute. Because I'm like, I see him as a mid-card guy. He's been a mid-card guy for years. And it seemed...
And there was nothing to it, right?
So famous Drew line that, no, you can't. Come here.
On a T-shirt. No, you can't. Come here. No, you can't. Come here. That hurts. Oh, sometimes I surprise myself. No, you can't come.
Oh, it could be like his what?
What? No, you can't. He all gets like, come here. No, you can't. Come here. Come here. Come here. Right, okay.
Oh, fuck.
Compose yourself, Kevin. Compose yourself. Yeah. So, the point I was making is I'm rather happy that they, instead of just going, nah, Sheamus and Drew, there's no money in it, like the whole Rhodes brothers, they give it something at least to move a story along to something else. I'm fine with that because that's still storytelling. Okay. Do you get me? Rather than just, you know, Bo Dallas. No, you can't come here. He gets slapped and sent back to catering with Liv Morgan, right? You get me? Which, by the way, Bo Dallas is being paid to sit in catering.
Mate, it happens to, I don't know, it's almost like the stock pilot because they're just no wanting anybody to go anywhere else.
No way.
Code Ninja's asking if that is Drew. I think he's referring to your impression.
Code Ninja. Hi, Code Ninja. Yeah, it was supposed to be Drew. To recap.
A very good Drew impression, actually.
Don't give us a line. Come here.
Drew, at Elimination Chamber, I'm going to beat you.
No, you can't. Come here. Because we know that's what Drew says.
I could be a meme. I could be like the Randy Orton.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we also like WWE. So the point I was making is the whole Drew and Sheamus thing, even if it doesn't end up at WrestleMania, which unlikely now, I am quite happy that that they use that to move a story along than not use it, because it'd be stupid not to. And I think they should do that with more rivalries. If there's history, right? So say there's like, so from Elimination Chamber to What's Next Fastlane?
Fastlane next, yeah.
So between there, right, who says they can't put a little bit of a story in there from something? Well, pull up the history and use it. If you don't think it's WrestleMania worthy, let it move something along.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to, I'll be honest with you. For anybody watching the stream, can't quite remember how Raw went down this week, because this is the night after Elimination Chamber, so Elimination Chamber is like extremely fresh up here. SmackDown, as per fucking usual, didn't watch it. So yeah, I'll just jump straight to it. Is Drew the WWE champion? He was. He's not anymore.
We'll get to that. Code Ninja, you should hit subscribe, and we'll keep you up to date with what's going on in wrestling every single week at the Weekly Wrestling Ramble. But
no, you can't come here.
But if you want to find out if Drew's still your champ, you're gonna have to wait till we get to Elimination Chamber.
Oh, aye. Big fucking mystery.
Code Ninja's trying to jump along. You'll have to wait till we get to Elimination Chamber. We'll tell you what happened, but you gotta wait. We'll get there. Right, see, okay. This Code Ninja is your typical WWE fan, eh? Skip right to the main event at WrestleMania. Let's get rid of it. Sometimes you've got to appreciate the slow build. I'm a champion. Woo! So you skipped. So Raw didn't do it for you this week.
I think I've spoiled it for Code Ninja.
No, he didn't come here.
He's fucking gutted. Look. He's saying, who is? Is it no, like who the fuck is?
That's not no, that's no.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah. So Code Ninja only likes SmackDown. Well, Code Ninja, we like all kinds of wrestling. SmackDown, Raw, I mean, pretty much it all. And this is the joys of getting involved in this weekly Wrestling Ramble. Is if you come to watch us on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, then you can get involved like Code Ninja here. Don't go getting too ahead of yourself, because we're not getting you the spoilers, not to the end. But but you can come along and we will interact with you. That's the joys of this. So make sure you hit the subscribe button. Code Ninja, hit that subscribe button, because I'll know if you didn't. I'm not answering any of your questions. I'm kidding. So, yeah, it's quite... I think the reason Raw and SmackDown were quite—I wouldn't say that they were garbage, but they were quite uneventful. Is because they were
a very uneventful week. I mean, last week we had all sorts of stuff going on. Yeah, I mean, last week we had all sorts of craziness going on, and then this week it's just kind of been calm down, calm down. They were building up to a big pay per view. WWE had Elimination Chamber last night. AEW's got Revolution next week, so it's all that filler. Week, they're not trying to give too much away, just trying to keep everybody at arm's length. But WWE is actually, it's WrestleMania season, so it's arguably the better product to watch at the minute. But as I say, Revolution, it's a pay-per-view I'm looking forward to. So
what did you think of the whole Hurt Business?
Well, I mean, they've obviously got quite a lot going on at the minute in time. As we spoke about last week, they seem to be kind of sneaking up there a little bit. I don't know where it's going to go, but we'll wait and see. I mean, certainly Lashley, is making his presence felt probably in the main event scene now by the looks of it. But it seems to be very much that they are a kind of APA type of situation. They're going to be pretty much, we will do the bidding of the people it pays, which is probably quite good.
Do you think maybe, well, we'll get to that when it comes to Elimination Chamber.
Yes, we'll
get to that. But so Raw was kind of raw. It was a raw this week. So we move across to SmackDown. What do you think of SmackDown? Oh yeah, you didn't watch it, did you?
Rock show. It was a Rock show, and now it's Roman Reigns show, as we've been saying for weeks. And yet again, it was Edge that showed up on this week's SmackDown, pretty much teasing, going, "I might face you. I might know." That's what Edge has been doing for weeks now. That's all I know about SmackDown. Other than that, I honestly don't know anything. I didn't watch it this week, so hands are up. I didn't watch it this week. But far too much. Not enough time.
Bailey had that whole knock knock who's there, and she had Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley. Is that her name?
Shayna Baszler.
Rhea Ripley, not the other one that's like going to kick.
No, that's a bit rock and roll,
Yeah. So.
Sheena Baszler's the cagey looking fighting one. Rhea Ripley's the one that looks like she likes a bit of rock and roll.
Right, yeah. I get you. I mean, SmackDown was a bit, for me, I really like Riddle. And he's got that, do you not think his theme song is like the opening scene of GTA San Andreas? Right. Again, I'm like, right, he can go. He can really go.
His shirt is called Bro Derek.
Right. And the fact
it's
that.
It's called Bro Derek.
Bro Derek.
It's in reference to the actress Bo Derek, but his finisher's called Bro Derek.
And the flip flops and whatnot.
I get the gimmick they're going for, but I just can't buy into it.
It's like he's like Jay Muse, but a legit fighter.
it's a Jay Muse comparison across the board. I get you, but Jay Muse is actually funny though. So
I don't know. I wonder if Matt Riddle actually speaks like bro. I wonder if that's actually
how he does. Probably legit. It's a whole So whole I think I spoke about this in Royal Rumble. It's the whole Matthew McConaughey beach bum. There's a film called The Beach Bum with Matthew McConaughey in it, and literally nothing happens in it. It's just Matthew McConaughey stumbling about, pished from scene to scene, walking in and saying weird shit. But that is Matt Riddle, or Riddle, as Vince is. I'd find him a much more interesting character if he was that type of wrestler, a bit like Orange Cassidy, in the way that, you know, he doesn't really give a shit about titles and stuff like that. He's walking about barefoot now. He'll be walking about like, I'll take part in the match. All right, man. Hey, bar. Yeah. And then when he gets into the match, he's just like, want me to fight him? I like those type of things when they try and do something different. Remember when Elias was the Drifter and he would just walk about with a guitar and he would just kind of kick about? And I'm like, oh, what's he doing? It's like, oh.
His theme song's really good.
Elias looked like he was on the way up. Don't know what happened to Elias. Maybe he did something bad backstage or something, because he's just been down here ever since.
He got what we like to call the Sandow treatment, Aaron Stevens.
Because he looks exactly like him as well.
Well, it does, and I think, do you think that that's maybe something Vince is like?
Well, goddamn, he's got a beard.
Goddamn, pal. No.
He looks exactly like that Sandow. Mid-card.
he's a carder, as so we'd speak. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. I think he had a lot of potential. I think, though, he needs to lose the whole I'm a singer with a guitar kind of thing. You know? He's like a more serious, but less serious, Jeff Jarrett.
But Jeff Jarrett was entertaining. But Jeff Jarrett lived in an era where he could get away with more shit than Elias would.
He also didn't actually play guitar or sing his song. Spend my days working hard on a go. Put my hands on the clock, keep spinning too slow.
It's rubbish.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame induction was so cringy. But the best thing about it was him saying, the best match I ever had in my career was against Shawn Michaels. And I was like, of course it fucking was.
Exactly. We got a question here from Code Ninja saying, I don't know why Roman Reigns is getting so much hate. Well, I think now he's getting hate because he's a bad guy. So he also goes on to say, as I know my spelling is bad. No, not at all. Todd's usually funny about spelling, but me, I can let it slide, man. We're not perfect, right? Yeah, Roman Reigns is getting heat because he's a bad guy now. So if ever was a time to dislike Roman Reigns, it is now. However, I don't know if you've noticed, but if you're supposed to like Roman Reigns, people hate him. If you're supposed to hate him, people love him. That's Roman Reigns, right? The guy is mega, mega talented and doing the best work of his career right now.
I've always thought he was talented to be there, but I felt like we said before, he was getting booked far too much in the fans' throat. I think a lot of people liked him. I mean, the Shield were massively popular. Mm-hmm. So he's always had it. But yeah, he's just doing great work as a heel at the moment in time. So if he's getting the hate, that's what he wants. So.
I still say, though, right, that the minute the tide changed for him was when CM Punk went on Colt Cabana's podcast and said,
make Roman look strong.
Yeah, and from that moment, it kind of solidified in people's minds, WWE are trying to push him, so we're going to reject him regardless. And he stole Paul Heyman. I don't think he stole Paul Heyman. I think Brock Lesnar's contract for whatever...
He belongs to Brock.
Oh, come on, you could have wrote he belongs to Bork. That would have been so much more funny.
Brock Lesnar.
Let's do this! Have you seen that?
I had a Bork Lesnar meme.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman was... I think this is kind of the way it works behind the scenes. So Paul Heyman works for WWE, and he worked for WWE because Brock Lesnar needed someone to speak for him. Not that he needed it, but I think...
A heater.
Right. But no, the heater's the... Brock's the heater. Heyman's the mouthpiece. Yeah.
I don't know my rest.
Come on, Todd. So, they needed... Paul Heyman was there to be the mouthpiece for Brock, not because he needed it, but because it's Paul Heyman, right? Why would you not? And those two go together like... You know, Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express. So, now that Brock's probably not under contract of any kind, doesn't mean he'll not be at some point. Doesn't even mean that he's not.
But I think Paul Heyman's there on the payroll, and they're like, right, who could we put Paul with that makes sense? And I don't think it's a bad pairing. However, I will not, I'll say this. I don't think Roman needs Paul Heyman.
No, never did.
Nah.
Never did. It's just, I don't know, it's just making it a lot easier for him, I suppose. Maybe his promos need work. I personally felt Roman Reigns' best promo was after he beat Undertaker at WrestleMania 33.
Code Ninja, I don't think Paul Heyman left because he was scared of Brock, because he didn't leave. And he and Brock Lesnar are best friends. So there's J-Mac. Totally agree. With what, J-Mac? Which part do you agree with? Yes. Roman has the Usos. The Usos are doing absolutely amazing.
He's agreeing with our words.
He no need Paul. Well, yeah, you're right. He no need Paul. Yeah. So yeah.
Kevin, you're having a fucking bad time with me.
class. So, you're right, he doesn't need Paul. We totally echo that. So yeah, it'd be cool to see Roman Reigns without Paul Heyman. I think that would probably happen when Brock Lesnar returns. Let's kind of look at this, right?
Lesnar ain't returning until the crowd's back. Lesnar's one of them guys that's like, oh, absolutely. If there's no money in it, I'm not involved. Which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Paul Heyman's there to get Roman more hate, because I think Roman's done a great job himself.
Aye, doesn't he? It's going to get to the point where he's going to turn on Paul Heyman. We all know that's going to happen.
And I would like that to be when Brock Lesnar shows up.
But is Brock Lesnar going to be a face at that point? A face? Who would have called that a couple of years ago? That Brock, if Brock came back, Brock would be the face and Roman would be the heel.
That makes sense, though. I mean, people love Brock Lesnar.
At the current time, it makes sense. Yes, it does.
And if you recall that,
people don't love Brock Lesnar. They did, but after the last reception here at the Royal Rumble, people genuinely, I think, had go away heat for Brock. I don't understand that. I think the guy's freaking excellent. I think he's money.
Well, let me just show you something, right? It may not be the same, but this is pretty much the response that Brock Lesnar got when he returned to WWE after being gone for about, what was it, about 10 years?
The people who knew responded.
Mm-hmm. Right, so let's watch this. Listen to the audience.
Expecting The Rock, they got Brock. And Brock Lesnar guy meme was born.
And here he is.
Oh my!
Now that was deafening, right?
It was one of the better returns, absolutely. Yep. It's not Dudley Boys, but it's...
But let me tell you, right? That is face Brock Lesnar. And I think if enough time passes, now think about it, COVID's been a thing, time's moved on a little bit, people are happy, people are excited, because the energy when the fans are back in that building, by the way, is going to be an energy. Yeah. It's going to be like the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania times 10, right?
Well, so we know already it's been announced today, which probably we're looking at June. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how it looks over in America. So
I wouldn't get too ahead of ourselves with that, but like I says though, that energy, you throw Brock Lesnar in the mix to come back and take his wee Paul Heyman, I see it, mate. I see a big, I can see it. I don't know if you can see it, but I certainly see it. Code Ninja, did you watch last year's WrestleMania? We watch every year's WrestleMania.
Brock looks like the general from Small Soldiers. You mean Major Chip Hazard?
He so does.
I love that movie. He's, I love it, the Gorgonites, man.
Yeah,
mate, Gorgonite friends are doing what they do best.
See, when I was a kid and I was watching the trailer to the Toy Soldiers, right? I thought the Gorgonites were the bad guys because they look like bad guys. Only when I watched it, I was like,
no point of the film is the Gorgonites look like bad guys, but they're like the most sensitive little bad guys.
I hope we don't hit an iceberg.
Fuck off in a boat at the end of it. I've always wondered why that, why the kid did that. No, like, they probably end up at the end of Whitburn Burn.
Some Ned sitting a light watching as he drip.
To be fair, Archer would have been all right because he was badass. The rest of them were fucked. No chance.
Oh, right, J-Max, stop it. Look, he's not even here and he's making us fucking sidetrack. Well, he is here.
Don't bring up small, you know, you should do a deep dive in Small Soldiers. That film is shit hot. Aye. One of my faves from growing up.
Man, it was really good. We could definitely check
that out. Was the first film I watched that was a pirate copy when it was out at cinemas, and it was a screener copy because it had the work writing at the bottom in the videotape. Like, and it also had a Madonna music video afterwards, which made me there you go.
Class. All that from Brock Lesnar. All that from Brock Lesnar looking like the guy for Small Soldiers.
Do you know Brock Lesnar's voice by Tommy Lee Jones?
Let's do this!
Brock Lesnar voice by Tommy Lee Jones.
Exactly.
You don't know about WWE. Only hardcore wrestling fans would know that.
If there was ever a time to have a wrestler be voiced by someone else, it's now during the whole COVID period. But
imagine you starting like voicing wrestlers with actors.
Was it, ladies and gentlemen, Big E? I'm coming for the championship.
Morgan Freeman plays Big E.
SmackDown ain't no fair tale of life.
Let's just say that. Who would voice? Well, we know that Matthew McConaughey would voice Riddle. Because that's just made to be. I don't know. You'd have to. I can't imagine anybody voice Gerard Butler as Drew McIntyre. I don't
know. I'd near enough be the same thing, eh?
I don't know. It's a funny idea. Maybe that's one for another day. Because we need to get onto the chamber, man. We need to get onto the chamber.
Let's move on to the Elimination Chamber. And I think, you know, we done with J-Mac, we done the Royal Rumble live stream. I think this would have been a fucking brilliant one. Let's be honest, right? It's a chamber. Oh, it's Fastlane. We treat it like that, right? But sometimes they bring out some fucking absolute belters. And we're like, oh, I wish I'd stayed up.
A quick-paced pay-per-view, man. It was...
Mm-hmm. It was over in Dunwee. I couldn't sleep. I turned the iPad on and thought, I'll watch a wee bit. I saw Matt Riddle win the United States champion, and I was like, yes! I thought, yep, right call. Cool. Now, two things went through my mind there. I thought, right, either they're doing something with Riddle, or they're taking that championship because Lashley's for different things.
You've been telling it.
Well... I said to you, and I think if you go back, what, 3 or 4 episodes? We're on episode 7 now. So I think maybe three or four episodes ago. Wow. Yeah. 7 weeks in a trot, right? I think if you go back, you'll see me say, Lashley has it, but he needs to stop with his baby smile, and he needs to get aggressive. The only way we'll take him seriously is if he just beats down everybody, and he looks angry. And I've said this, and I'm waiting on it happening, but he needs to grow a beard, right? Because his face is too, like... It's literally like if you take Brock Lesnar, right, and you take the head off a baby doll, like of, you know, like those wee babies that you put in a pram that you'd buy a 2-year-old, pop the head off that and put it on Brock Lesnar's body. That's, and I don't know, I think Bobby Lashley's even more impressive body than Brock Lesnar.
Than Brock? Nowadays, aye. Brock was ripped back in the day, but he's not so much anymore. He's still a beast, but...
Right. So that's it. His face is too baby. A baby face, right? And I've said if he turns it up and turns it up and just needs to get... And he has, and look what happened.
He said to Drew, no, you won't. Come here.
Come here. Code Ninja, if you are still with us, right, I'm going to tell you who the WWE champion is right now. The WWE champion, for the second time, 10 years later, is...
Crazy.
The Miz!
Yes, it is.
Yes. And do you know what? I was watching that and I was like this, right? I saw the Chamber match had finished and I thought, all right, cool. Of course, Drew's going to win it. He's strong, right? The Chamber lifts. I think it's not fade to black. We're seeing the Chamber lift and they're showing replays. Something's happening. I'm like, Miz. Didn't expect Bobby Lashley to come out and start pasting him. But see, when I saw how much of a pasting he was getting, I was like,
yep.
The Miz is coming, right? Awesome hit. And I was like, I was like, no, he's no. I thought they're gonna double swerve us here. He's gonna come down. Drew's gonna claim over him, and that'll be it, right? No, he done his first finisher, went for the pin. Drew kicked out. I was like, oh, right. When I seen the second finisher hit, I was like, they're doing it. 1, 2, 3. Miz is like, I was like, fucking go on yourself, mate.
Aye.
I'm happy for the Miz.
I'm happy for him as well. I mean, we kind of suspected it a couple of weeks ago when Adam Pearce rocked up to them backstage and said, "Here's your Money in the Bank opportunity back." We kind of went, right, they wouldn't do that if unless they didn't have something planned. Mm-hmm. So it's not a surprise. It is a surprise, but it's not a surprise. It was never what was going to happen. And this is what alludes back to what I mentioned earlier. Drew won the Elimination Chamber against 5 other previous champions, mm-hmm. convincingly won it.
And that'll be the reason they put 5 initial champions in, by the way.
Yes. It makes him comes out the credibility having won that, having been mm-hmm. a man coming out against the odds like that. Gets a beatdown from Bobby Lashley, takes him as his finisher, kicks out of it, but it gets beat again. He goes down fighting. There's only so much one man can do. Still looks very strong and credible despite getting beat and losing his title. As for Miz winning, though, I mean, if you don't like it, I really don't think, I don't really know what you want as a wrestling fan. The guy's been at WWE for I don't know how long. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a company guy, works his arse off, never moans, never complains, is across the board a genuinely nice guy. He's a good heel. He's a good baby face. He's a decent worker in the ring. He's well-deserved to have a second championship. He's never going to be a guy like The Rock or Austin or anything like that. I even dare say he's not going to be a Roman Reigns or a Drew McIntyre. He's not going to win it a lot, but people in years to come are going to think to himself, maybe he should have had a few more reigns than what he actually did. So I think
people should
maybe just enjoy this, because I don't think it'll happen very often.
People always said all along that he was a transitional champion, and those do exist. They're people that maybe Vince and the company don't see as actual champions, but they go, you know what, you're a good placeholder because we need to get it from him to get it to him, but we don't want these two to meet because that's money down the road. So yes. they do the whole transitional thing. Zack Ryder was a transitional champion when he won the Intercontinental Championship.
Dolph Ziggler, right. Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, all these people have all done transitions. But I don't view them as a transitional champion. Now, people always say this, MJF is the next Miz, but he's better than the Miz. No, he's not better than the Miz. He is fresh and new and reminds you of the Miz, right? But there's a reason you're comparing him to the Miz and not the Miz to him, right? The Miz is fucking awesome, whether you like it or not, right? And I'm so happy that he won that championship. He deserves it.
He absolutely deserves it, absolutely. You know? I mean, what's crazy is if you look back at it, back in 2007, 2008, when Miz and John Morrison were having their first run, you're looking at those two and you're thinking, who's going to be the one that wins more championships? Who's going to have the better career? You're thinking John Morrison at the time. I was certainly thinking it. And, well, lo and behold, don't get me wrong, John Morrison's done all right for himself outside of WWE, but Miz is a guy that's kind of defied all the odds. He was a guy who used to do the Diva search and just go, hoorah, hoorah, and here he is.
The number is... Wait a minute.
he's one of the most reliable guys. I mean, he does everything. He's involved in the wrestling side. Is it never a week he's never on one of the main shows? He does. I don't really like the WWE reality shows. I think they're absolute garbage. But he does his work there. He's got his wife who does the old Divas stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. He does it with a smile on his face, and you've got to commend him for that. And you know, it was doing a lot. There was a lot of. Like pictures not orientated towards, like, he knows that people are unhappy about this, but people see the real wrestling fans, they're not unhappy about this. They're actually quite glad to see him champion. At least I am. I'm just, the only part that made me a little bit disappointed was like, well, of course, Drew's runs came to an end, and Drew's done fantastic. Oh, no. I know, exactly.
I still think they're factoring him into WrestleMania.
He's going to get it back at Mania.
Yeah, I think maybe. I mean,
let's get it back at some point.
Let's think about this, right? Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental Championship. We were like, yes, this is great. Lost it the next night. Christian won the World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah, this is great. Lost it the next night. Tonight is Monday Night Raw, right? So we'll be talking about tonight's episode next week, right? Or the end of this week, sorry.
Are you thinking Miz is going to lose it tonight?
I think what will happen is Miz will come out, you know, I'm awesome. Bobby Lashley will come down with his Hurt Business and be like, you only got that because of Lashley. Adam Pearce will walk out and be like, do you know what? Why don't we see who the real champion is then? Bobby Lashley versus the Miz. And Lashley could take it, which then takes Lashley and Drew into WrestleMania.
I disagree, and I'll tell you why. And it's a lot less logical, and you'll probably go, you know what? You're right after I've said it. I watched a video and Miz was doing the whole photo shoot with the belt.
Right.
And I was like, if he's doing a photo shoot with the belt, that means they're making up JPEGs. It means they're making up match.
Mate.
I could be wrong, but
unfortunately, I saw Zack Ryder do the belt with the Intercontinental title. Also, he then went and got his picture taken with Scott Hall. As well, and they made a big WWE made a big deal about being, you know, Zack Ryder had a picture of himself and Scott Hall, and he was holding Scott Hall's Intercontinental Championship back in the day when Zack Ryder was a kid, and then he gave his to Scott Hall, and WWE even put it out and was like, oh my god, look at this moment, you know, here's a young Zack Ryder holding Scott Hall's, and here's Scott Hall now holding Zack Ryder's.
Like that shit, though.
Right, they do, but I lost it the very next night, so that's nothing to go by, mate. If the Miz loses his title tonight on Raw, right? The next episode will start with me like this.
If it does, fair play.
I don't even smoke, but I'll have a cigar and about that.
I'll be absolutely gutted for him if he loses it tonight.
So will I. But that again, that could. You have to look at, like, let's think about it. Where do we go from here, right?
We're sitting here next week and fucking Bret Hart's a champion or something.
No, it's not me. Dodge that win.
Oh, please.
Woo, woo, woo. I got a baby coming. I got my championship.
You gotta equal against Shia.
By the way, just to kind of side note to Ric Flair here, by the way, because we kind of skipped over him, right? Yes. Lacey Evans is pregnant in real life, right? Now I found out about this before I watched it. Ooh. Then I watched it and I thought, wait a minute, they didn't say I'm pregnant and it's Rick's, but they didn't say I'm pregnant and it's not Rick's. And Rick was getting at this, woo, 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 right? So now. Even though she's pregnant, right? What's worse than getting the match between two people you want to see fight, right? No, what's worse? When there's someone pregnant and the other person can't hit the other person. Think about how much heat that would have, right? Think about how good that would be as a story. You can't hit me, I'm pregnant. And she's like, ah. And even Adam Pearce is like, you know, if you hit her, you know, you're not only going to lose your job, but you will go to jail, right? So she's like, oh, I'll get you. And she's like, ah, like your dad got me. And he's like, woo, woo. Right? That's heat. Yes, even more heat than what they could have had building up to this match. Agree? Yeah. No? Right?
Absolutely. Real life what? Intervenes.
Right? Think about it. Michael Cole, right? When he used to wind up JR and whatnot, right? It was Michael Cole versus, who was it?
Jerry Lawler.
Right, and he had that big box around him. He couldn't get to him, and he was smug as fuck because he couldn't get to him. That's what we need to do here. Instead of just having Lacey Evans go off TV to be pregnant, right? Have her come down and still be like, you know what? We're going to have this match. Have her win the match. Have her win the Women's Championship and leave to have a baby with. Have her do that. It's never been done. Right?
No, it's never been done, and it probably won't ever be done because it's too different.
Right, but have her, like, you know, here we go. She's got the baby bump now, right? A wee bit of baby bump because it's WrestleMania, right? This match is still ongoing, right?
Everybody's like, well, how is this going to happen? Charlotte can't touch her. Well, you know, a contract, baby. Woo, woo, woo. Right? They go down there, and Ric Flair spits in his daughter's face or uses brass knuckles or something, right? And Lacey Evans just gets the pin. Right?
Why wouldn't we just have Ric versus Charlotte at WrestleMania? And Lacey, you see, Lacey gets the pin, but it's basically dad versus daughter.
Mate, it's not like they've never done that with Vince versus Stephanie, right? I'm just saying. If I was sitting there in that meeting where we're like that creative meeting, and I'm a part of WWE creative, and they're like, "Well, that's it. That's this ruined because Lacey's pregnant." I'm like, "What? Let's back up a minute here. She's pregnant, right? She's been hanging about Ric Flair. Why don't we just go for the whole, you know, Charlotte? This is, you know, now that I'm your mum, and this is your brother or sister in my belly, and Ric Flair the whole time she's going last." Right, you know, now this is and she tries to do the whole, you know, kids can be like that, you know, Charlotte.
That's your brother in there,
right? Aye, but when Charlotte's like, aye, and she's like, you know, I would never, you're not my mum, don't be stupid, right? Don't be stupid, right? Great Charlotte impression there, right? But Charlotte's getting it all apart, or you'll never be part of my family, and that, and she's like, kids. Right, she just goes for the whole, you know, there's always teething problems, you know, when these kind of things happen, but you know, we'll get there. And she condescends
the whole new mum thing,
right? And anytime Charlotte,
for you having a new,
yes,
mom.
And anytime Charlotte gets right in her face, she's like, oh, pregnant, can I touch it? And Charlotte's just like,
Drew's like, no, you can't, come here.
Come here. But tell me, would you not enjoy that rather than have Lacey Evans fade off TV?
I would enjoy that. I would, but to be fair, if I'm being brutally honest with you, I would enjoy anything they give me as long as Ric Flair is fully involved. The truth of the matter, guys, it's so much entertainment.
He does. He provides.
Whenever he comes on, you just smile. And you're just like, there he is.
There he is.
Old Shire.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so we're going back to where the WWE title kind of. We know that Edge is going up against Roman Reigns.
Really, that should have ended the show, in my opinion. I think the SmackDown Chamber should have ended the show. Daniel Bryan came out winning that quite strongly. Kind of went down. Roman Reigns' music hit immediately. Came out. And we knew it was more of a segment than a match.
Yeah.
But Roman came out, basically decimated. Bryan goes down quite well. But, yeah, really good segment. As soon as he wins the match, Edge, Spear.
Yeah.
Points to the sign. We're going to WrestleMania. That should have, for me, that's how they should have ended the show. But
No, Miz, I disagree, mate.
Miz, I suppose, is quite a big thing. But
aye. Do you know what? Both would have been a good end to a show. If they're different shows, right?
It's true. It's not me complaining at all.
I'll still go with a Miz. Right? I'm still going with that. But here's the thing. So we know
we kind of knew we were going to get Edge and Reigns. The way the promos and that.
Do you know why? Let me tell you why right now, right? It's because Vince loves the whole spear versus spear. Hence why Goldberg was supposed to fight Roman Reigns at last WrestleMania.
Right.
He wanted a spear versus spear. Now that Edge is back, when they're I'll get my spear versus spear, pal. Right. And I bet watch them market spear versus spear. Watch them market it. Who's got the best spear? Watch them there.
It's a match to look forward to. Actually, if I could have chose the match for Edge to have, it would have been that one. It's the obvious one. I mean,
here's what I'm kind of thinking. Edge has kind of paved his own journey now to the point you've got to see him see it through. Right. How's Roman going to let that happen? I can't see Edge taking out Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Do you know? I don't think it'll happen, but if it did happen, I think he's one of the. I think he's probably one of the only people who could actually take it off him at the minute. I don't think it's the right move.
No.
I think Roman needs to hold that for a bit longer. I think he really needs to. I don't get me wrong, he's held it for a good while now. He held it. I can't remember when it was. What was it? SummerSlam. It was SummerSlam, wasn't it? Mm. Was it SummerSlam? Anyway, he's held it for a little while, but he still needs to hold it for longer. He needs to go on a CM Punk 400-odd-day reign here.
Well, let's look at something here. Drew McIntyre won the WWE Championship, right, at last year's WrestleMania, and only lost it once and got it back pretty much the week after and carried it pretty much nearly to WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, but it's... See, usually the Rumble winner does win at WrestleMania just about every single time. I think this is one of the few times where it won't happen. But if it did happen, if somebody said to me, that's going to happen, I'd go, aye, you might be right. Mm-hmm. I've not said that for a Roman Reigns match for a little while, but I still don't, I don't know.
I like the fact that we can't call it Edge.
Aye, exactly. It's nice to have that, but Edge really doesn't need that belt.
I think what we should do as well for WrestleMania is have you, me, J-Mac, and Todd surprise on as a wee four-way stream, because Todd actually is over in America. Other Todd. The Owen Hart guy.
Go remember, I'm really confused. He's like saying my name twice.
No, Todd Surprise. He's the guy we done the Owen Hart podcast with.
That's right. That's right.
Good long wrestling fan, right from before I was alive.
To be fair, we're going to be streaming the night of WrestleMania anyway, and it's going to be a lot more, based on this experience, it's going to be lovely. so yeah, and we're actually going to have people even more angry at us when they come and realize that we're not actually streaming WrestleMania, we're watching WrestleMania.
Exactly.
We're going to get some real heat.
I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. To kind of wrap up,
it's two nights, of course.
Yeah. So we'll need to do it over the two nights. We need to get some time off work. So to kind of wrap up, Todd, we're going to kind of fantasy book what's happening here with Drew. How do you see Drew entering WrestleMania? Because I don't think he's not. I can see Lashley's in the picture, right? So if they're going to WrestleMania, they're taking the title with them. How are they going to do it?
I don't have a clue. I think we might get more clarity tonight.
I'm telling you right now, that Miz, the Miz is a transitional champion right now. Right? Right now.
I'll be honest with you. At this moment in time, and things can change dramatically very quickly, when our pay-per-view to go, I think Miz will be holding that championship at WrestleMania. I genuinely believe that. And... if you want to call me out, this is gonna be a massive prediction, right? But I know there's gonna be one guy. I was just reading what Jordan's put there. So, I think, and this is a massive prediction. Okay, this year is WrestleMania 37. 10 years to the WrestleMania where The Miz was last champion. Who did Miz face at WrestleMania 27? Correct.
John Cena!
John Cena will be in a match at WrestleMania. I guarantee that. I can absolutely...
He's coming for The Miz to break the Nature Boys 16 times?
Well, I genuinely thought I think they'll do that. I genuinely think if Miz is holding the title, which he is, right? WrestleMania 27 main event, Miz John Cena. WrestleMania 37 main event, Miz John Cena. But I think because in 27 it was always seen as a bit of a damp squib, I think in 37 it would be a total different feel. I think people would actually be quite up for that.
Mate, I'm just saying, I'm so behind the Miz. And I'm happier to have him as champion right now than Drew. I don't think Drew needs it right now. I think he's done his bit.
I think, for Drew, right, I think what everybody's been thinking is like, they want to give him the moment. They want to give him the big moment in front of the crowd. They might do that at SummerSlam or Survivor Series. Who knows? You know, it'd be awesome. See, the dream, the absolute dream would be to bring a pay-per-view event over to the UK again and have it in the Hydro or maybe not Hampden Park because it's utter shite, but personally because I'm absolutely biased, but Drew's a big Rangers man. Let's get him the Ibrox. Let's get a pay-per-view at Ibrox. Right. And let's get Drew winning the belt at Ibrox.
I think Drew was lobbying for when COVID's over. He was lobbying to have, you know, WWE. I think Rebellion. Was it Rebellion was the very last one?
It used to be Rebellion and Insurrection and all that, didn't it? The UK exclusive pay-per-views. Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. And we should get our... we should take J-Mac along with us with our weekly wrestling ramble press passes.
AEW. See when AEW come across here, it's going to be fucking mental.
Yeah.
Because AEW...
Let's go fucking mental. Let's go fucking mental. Jericho.
Last time I went to Ibrox, the toilets were nicest smelling bit of the stadium. I don't think you've been to Ibrox before.
Stop talking, shout.
Right? You know the best story I ever heard, right? About this is off kilter, but it's a story I need to tell, right? I heard this story. It's not from anybody I know, but it was a story that I heard in a podcast and it absolutely killed me. It was about a kid who was at a football match, and at football matches and bigger main events, you'll know in a men's urinal, they've got these big, it's not just like individual urinals, it's just like this big metal wall with the bit at the bottom, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've got the little circular yellow cakes in it, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
So the story was a dad took his son to a football match or an event or something like that, and he was pissing, you know, as you would, quite intimidated by these big shoulders about him. Apparently a guy walked right up to next to him, patted him in the back and looked at him and said, "You want to see something, kid?" And started pissing on one of the cakes, and his piss was so hot it melted the cake.
Uh-huh.
And this wee boy just sat there and watched this guy pissing on this cake until it was disappeared, like absolutely mesmerized. Uh-huh. And then you look back up at the guy winked at him, patted on the back, and said, "Good luck to you, kid." And walked off.
I've got one that can top that, right? I was in I think it was Hamden. It was the one in Edinburgh near Gorky.
Murrayfield,
that's where I was, right?
That's a good one, actually. A good venue.
Well, I was doing security for the Spice Girls, right?
Uh-huh, that's right.
Class gig, I'll tell you. Class gig. Anyway, I'm now trailing round all the toilets. Male toilets, because I'm bursting on a pish, right? But because it's a primarily female concert, where all the guys pretty much are females anyway, right? Spice Boys, they call them. So I'm like, where's a toilet I can go in that the girls haven't kind of taken over? Because, you know, I want to go in and pee. I go into one, and I'm like, this one seems quiet. As I walk past, like, the cubicle where there's a toilet, there's, like, a lassie there with a keg stand, right, on the pan, and three lassies, like, helping. I'm like, and at this point, I'm bursting. I'm like, Ken, what? No, I've walked all the way around here. I've been on my feet all day. I'm going to piss. So I'm standing there pissing, and she's like, and they're all, "What are you doing in here?" I'm like, "It's the boys' toilets. I'm peeing." "You can't pee in here. She's pregnant." I'm like, "And I'm taking a piss in the boys' toilet. Yous fuck off. I'm fucking security. Get the fuck."
Kevin's at the toilet, right? The pool's pissing out, and then he hears a voice at the back. "No, you can't. Come here."
Yes, J-Mac, yes.
How did we get here?
No, so to wrap up, we got you think that the Miz will end up with Cena, and
that's,
we're going to clip this
prediction.
This will be clipped in a future episode when it comes to that actually happening. But I think Drew and Lashley are probably heading to Mania, and the title's going to be back in their possession. I think, Miz
think
is just...
that would be massively underwhelming, Drew and Lashley.
I do, but it depends. Let's see how it goes. Let's give them a... Oh, Lucas just returned. Code Ninja 123. Okay, you're back. I don't suppose you were away to a toilet by any chance, were you? Come here. Just for you, Code Ninja, because you've been a staple point in our very first stream here, right? Make sure you hit the subscribe button because we want to see you come back, right? The Miz is the world champion right now, and he cashed in his Money in the Bank to beat Drew, right? And we think he's going to take it to Mania. But however, Raw is tonight, and
he was eating his dinner.
We'll see what happens. Oh, you were eating your dinner? What did you have? can I get a bit? Yeah. He's going to tell...
For £5, who's that?
Exactly.
What a £3.
So we do... I think that Drew will take the championship back. I think this is a transitional period and they're using the Miz for that. which is unfortunate because I really want The Miz to have a good wee thingy. Who did I say was the champ? The Miz, like nine times? The Miz is champ. That's who the champion is, Code Ninja. The Miz.
Yes.
The Miz is champ. Thank you, Ninja, for checking us out on Twitch. Make sure you check us out on YouTube and Facebook. Go and hit the like button. Smash the subscribe button. Everybody at home that's watching this, anybody that's listening to this on Spotify and all the other places you can get Jibber Jabber Podcast, make sure to go to jibberjabberpodcast.com where you can find all our cool stuff, right? Keep up to date with us and you'll be heavily entertained. Code Ninja, man. We're trying to wrap up the show and you're asking 100 questions.
It's Code Ninja, right? Back in like 1984 or something like that.
Aye, Code Ninja. What do you mean? What? How?
You're online.
I just explained it. You came back and I explained to you. I explained it. I'll do it one more time. One more time. The Miz brought... come on.
Do it in the style of Ric Flair. Do it in the style of Ric Flair.
I'm going to do it in the style of Ric Flair, right? But before I do it in the style of Ric Flair to end this show, I do want to say, Code Ninja, how do you not know how? How do you not know how he done it? Think about it. Right? Have you been watching? You said you love WWE, right? Have you been watching it? Right. One more time in the style of Ric Flair, right? Here we go now. The Miz is not so bad, by the way. The Miz is awesome.
So what happened, right, is so Drew went ahead and he won, you know, the cage. And he beat AJ Styles. Woo! The champion, right? And then Big Lashley came down and he put the
I'm going to ramp it up here, but
he put the boot to Drew. Woo-hoo! And then The Miz came down and he was like, hey, cash this bad boy in. He did his finisher. Did he win? Was he champ? He did his finisher twice. Did he win? New champion, baby.
Woo, woo, woo. Sorry, it wasn't perfect.
It was perfect.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You just says, I know he cashed in his money in the bank. Right. So if you know he's a champion and you know he cashed in his money in the bank, how are you still confused as to how he's a champion? Code Ninja, you need to go and have a sit down. But I have enjoyed your patter, which means... your interactions with us, Code Ninja, please return. Please return. You can also check out our other show, which is it's movie related. Code Ninja. I said how because he is so bad. Well,
wrestling. Did you not
just hear what Nature Boy just says? Bobby Lashley came down and smashed Drew after Drew's fought. Right, Drew had a match. It was Elimination Chamber, that big cell thing where he fought five other champions, right? For 40 minutes, Drew won a hard fought battle. Then Big Bobby Lashley came down and smashed Drew. He didn't just smash him, he broke him. Then The Miz came down, gave him one of his finishers, and then he was like, this is it. One, two, oh, Drew still kicks out, right? Another finisher. One, two, three. That's how.
I prefer the Ric Flair version myself. But
that's how, Code Ninja. Yes, him and his purple undies. And on that note, thank you everyone for joining us here on this very first... Sorry. Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Sorry, Todd. You got something.
No. I've not got a story. It's just going to be... Kevin's going to put up a vote on the
Jibber Jabber community.
Oh, that's page. It. On the Facebook guy, right? He's going to put up a wee vote. And we mentioned last week we picked our choices. Kevin picked Royal Rumble 2000. I picked Survivor Series 2005. So feel free to vote and we will be here next week.
Todd, you're a wrestler from the Attitude Era that you're going to challenge me.
Oh, yes.
What am I, 7-0?
6-0. So let's time.
Champion, baby, champion.
This one might be quite a familiar one to one we did previously, but I didn't realise. Well, what is the name of the villain of the first Highlander movie, Kevin?
Come on, are you joking? This isn't even wrestling related. It's Kurgan.
That's right. So if I said to you there's an Attitude Era wrestler called
Kurgan.
Kurgan.
He was in the Oddities.
Fuck. He was in the Oddities as well, was he?
Yes. It seems all you're doing is naming the Oddities.
I never heard of him.
Yeah, man. Kurgan. He was quite big. Bye, Code Ninja. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Yeah. The Oddities, mate. So there we go. Is that 7-0?
That is 7-0. And
just
well
because
done, mate.
Miz is champ. Do you know what? See, when I lose, I no longer get to display this title. Which, by the way, you got me at your wedding.
It's the same one.
It's the one. It is exactly the one.
That's cool.
Clash, still right? Good. Yes, still well looked good. After. And I'm sitting here again at all the party because I've yet to be
6 years later. Almost 6 years later.
Mental, right? Yet to be defeated. And J-Mac, you get our final. That was funny, guys. Catch you for Armageddon. Well, absolutely, you'll find Armageddon.
Is that your next deep dive?
That is the exact deep dive that we're doing next.
What was that voted? What was the vote on that one? Who was that? What was that being voted against?
It was 2020.
Oh, was it 20? I mean, I seen that.
Oh, 2012. Sorry, 2012.
I wanted you to do 2012 as well.
Nah. It was 2012 and a couple of other disaster one twister and all that. I mean, that's what it is. But Nate's going to beat Armageddon, which is also a WWE pay per view, or used to be.
That's what I thought you meant, actually, when I seen it. I was like, Armageddon.
Yeah. So again, guys, thanks for watching. Hit the like button, subscribe, follow, check us out. Make sure you come back next time if you've got some cool questions. If you want to see us cover a full show, we'll have clips and everything. Go ahead and message us, and we will see you next week. And make sure you check out the Jibber Jabber podcast, as always. Goodbye. Showtime!